glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 10th, 2015, and I am so encouraged with the special guest that's on the phone with me. In fact, it was only moments ago that I learned about some of his own faith journey, that he's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he feels this product, this toy that he's going to be presenting this Saturday at Lincoln Square Mall is something that God has kind of navigated him through. So, Mike, a chair, thank you for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I'm just getting to know you, and I do want to thank Dr. William Gingold from Dr. G Brainworks for connecting us together, and I thought I was going to kind of be pitching your product and saying, hey, this is a great family-friendly gift that can be shared at Christmas time and, you know, come out to Lincoln Square Mall, and I thought it would just be a little bit about the product and that you're coming to town, but now learning that you're a believer and happily married to Heather these 19 years with two boys, and you felt like God has been at work in your life from a young age, I think I want to start with just sharing a little of your testimony with our Great News Radio listener, and then we can talk about this really unique invention, the Lux Block, L-U-X-B-L-O-X, and the website is luxblox.com. We'll talk about that at another point in the program, but introduce yourself to our Great News Radio listener.
Thanks again, Mark, for having me on the Great News Radio Network. I really appreciate being here. Yeah, it's been a lifelong journey. My wife and I both believe that everything's connected and there aren't accidents and God doesn't make mistakes. Even though sometimes it might feel that way, we believe it's a failure of ourselves to make those connections, that they're out there to be had, to be perceived if you open up to them, right? But ever since I was a little kid, you know, I was raised as a Christian, and I was attracted to the movies like The Robe. I've always liked the movies about conversions, Ben-Hur, The Robe, those kind of movies, The Ten Commandments, where there's a believer amidst a lot of doubters, right? And then God comes down in Hollywood fashion and reveals himself, and there's a great vindication for faith. So I've always been attracted to that, especially as a little kid. And I've had this kind of real personal relationship with God my whole life. You know, I've never been afraid to ask for help, right? And as I got through high school and into college, my questions became very specific. You know, as I learned how my own journey was going and the kind of questions I was asking, I found myself attracted to very difficult problems. And one of the problems I was attracted to was, how is the world put together? Are we putting it together the best way with our own hands? Is there a better way to put it together? And if I was going to make a product like a construction toy, is there a best way to make it? Or is Lego and the other construction blocks out there really perfected the art of putting things together? Is it best to stack the universe together like bricks, right? And so that led me into a whole journey of asking these questions, praying for help, I mean really earnestly praying, and opening myself up to the things that came at me after that. And I was led to the woods of Maine after college. I lived in 2 years in a hut shaped like it was called a yurt, in this hut in Maine, you know, reading Thoreau and Emerson and Buckminster Fuller and Frank Lloyd Wright and just studying how things are put together. And I came out of the woods with this understanding of nature that was different than when I was taught. I spent 2 years as an engineering student, then I became an artist. Then I re-met my wife in Chicago at a poetry reading. I knew her in college, but we didn't date because I didn't think I was worthy of her. I was kind of a crazy art student in college. And by the time I saw her at the poetry slam in Chicago, I had been a bachelor for a while, and I saw her, and I was like, wow, Heather Ziegler, holy cow. And she was with a guy, but I was like, I'm going to compete for her attention. And we had a courtship, and we both discovered that we both loved Frank Lloyd Wright, the architect, and his work. And we used to go up there to Wisconsin, visit his home in Taliesin, his studio, and marvel at that whole era of design. And it became a conversation in our marriage. And we found out that Bucky Fuller, who's I'm a big fan of Buckminster Fuller, the New England man who invented the geodesic dome, like Epcot Center.
Okay.
He was a transcendentalist. He was a relative of Margaret Fuller, who was a friend of Emerson. So he was very spiritually guided towards nature too. And so we found out that Bucky Fuller and Frank Lloyd Wright both claim that some of their most profound experiences in life happen when they're in the kindergarten. But not the kindergarten you and I know as much as the original kindergarten made by Frederick Froebel, who invented kindergarten back in Germany. He was a friend of Maria Montessori. Frederick Froebel's background was he was a mineralogist. He studied geology, and he studied crystals. And he decided that what kids really need was a kind of environment, little kids, where they can have their hands on really good tools for learning. So he built these special kind of blocks and special kind of activities called the gifts. Because he was a progressive. He thought that children could actually pass up adults in understanding how the world is put together and really show us better ways of doing things, right? So Bucky Fuller, he was almost blind as a kid from being cross-eyed. He had this stigma. And when he was given the gifts as a kid in kindergarten of the peas and sticks, where they'd wet the peas the night before, so these soft peas and toothpicks, he built the structure that went right up to the ceiling off his desk, even though he was almost blind. He 50 years later, he actually patented that structure. It was called the Octet Truss. Okay, Frank Lloyd Wright said that his most profound experience came in kindergarten too. And we went, if you go to Oak Park and look at the Unitarian Temple there in Oak Park, the Frank Lloyd Wright church he built out of concrete, and you could look at a picture of one of the things kids had to do in kindergarten with their blocks, and there it is, right there, it was a kindergarten project. So we were like really influenced by that, like, wow, you can make these amazing tools for kids and they can become like the geniuses of their age, right? So it's kind of a very strong idea about what could be done with children if you give them really good tools. And that became kind of a theme for our marriage. And then about 5 years ago, I was working as a volunteer at an FRC robotics challenge. They gave everybody in the team this software, this AutoCAD software. And since I'm a pretty good drawer, I told my wife, I said, you know, there's this 15-year-old German boy on the team who's the son of a missionary family down the street. They immigrated from Germany. And he's really good at AutoCAD, which is, you know, the automatic drafting on the computer. And I said, well, I can make drawings of these ideas we've had. He could put it in AutoCAD, and we could buy a printer, a 3D printer, and print out the idea and see if it actually works. And we bought a printer. He started making the AutoCADs for us at 15 years old. 3 years later, and about 4,000 hours in that printer, printing blocks for us. We have tubs and tubs of different, hundreds of different ideas. We finally made a block that really worked well. And we decided to put a patent down on it and, you know, start a business.
I think you said the patent was like 297 pages of drawings and such.
Yeah, our patent's a nightmare for a patent clerk because it is. We put down everything. We threw the kitchen sink in that patent because what we're patenting was a snapping connector. It was a snapping hinge. That's where it all led to was, if you could snap things together and they could move, right?
Yeah.
And how do you snap them together and move and then they'll hold, right, and make a structure? Because that's what nature does. It's these little molecules, they bond together, but they could also wiggle and move too. So really wiggly molecules are like a gas, and a less wiggly molecule would be like a liquid, and a least wiggly molecule would be like a solid, right? So we wanted our blocks to imitate atoms and molecules, because if you could imitate atoms and molecules, then helicopters and submarines are really easy, right? So we did, and we had this little litmus test. It's got to be able to do all the Platonic and Archimedean solids. You know, Plato was and Archimedes were those Greek thinkers, and they had actually cataloged the fundamental shapes so well that an interesting story, Van Hoft, who was a chemical physicist about 120 years ago, Van Hoft was studying a molecule called benzene, right? They didn't have these special telescopes or microscopes now, so they couldn't see it. But he thought this molecule, benzene, which is a carbon molecule, he said it's demonstrating these numbers that involve sixes and twelves. He goes, I guess that the molecule of carbon should be a pyramid called a tetrahedron. Well, all the scientists in the late 19th century were pretty, I would say they weren't believers. And they thought that Plato and his ilk said the metaphysical idea that the world is understandable with shapes, okay? They thought that's metaphysics and mysticism and, you know, Christian and weird, and that everything is understandable, more like Descartes, everything is understandable by numbers and reason, and there's no business for shapes, because that smacks of belief, right? But, you know, Van Hoff said, well, it's not that I'm a Christian I'm saying that. It's because I think that really these molecules have shapes and architecture. They actually have a physical form, and it's understandable. And it's actually Plato's form. It's the tetrahedron, the four-sided pyramid. And he was actually vindicated and given a Nobel Prize because he was right. Hmm. Okay, and I only mention that story because here is this beautiful order in nature, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's reducible in the mind. Man, we can reason these things out. We don't need to have high-tech equipment necessarily to understand that there's fundamental relationships the Greeks actually figured out, and they were vindicated in the late 19th century by scientists that, yes, the Plato was right. And Plato premised everything on the fact that there must be a god.
Hmm.
He approached God through pure reason. Not a pagan idea of a god, but he goes, the universe is reasonable. The universe is ordered.
So
there must be a god, because how could there not be?
There's a designer behind the design.
Yeah, and that's a very Platonic idea. Wasn't it Plato? He wasn't calling it Zeus either. Plato wasn't calling it Zeus or Diomedes, or he wasn't calling it a god. He was saying it's an intelligent force, right? So, yeah, so in our testing of the block, it had to behave like atoms and molecules and have this reasoned order. Otherwise, it wasn't going to do what we wanted it to do. It had to go through these hoops for us, and it did. And now you have a block that a kid could sit down and snap together a carbon structure or a helicopter, and he's not laying bricks anymore. He's actually making forms that exist in flowers and babies and eyeballs and bones.
Yeah, let me simplify some things, because I think my learning curve is going off the chart after talking with you. But our listener is familiar with, like, the Legos, the little blocks that connect together, or some of the older listeners, the Lincoln Logs that we grew up with. Describe your kind of product. I mean, you kind of have laid it out, but like,
yeah,
they
and Lincoln Logs were actually made by Lincoln Logs were actually designed by Frank Lloyd Wright's son. A lot of people don't know that. But Lego is basically 20th century snapping technology with 5,000-year-old bricklaying technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're laying the world with Lego, you're using technology that came about pre-writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Sumerians laid brick. So it's very old human history when we started baking clay and laying bricks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you lay bricks, you do have a modular system. You're stacking, using gravity as your tool, right? Because the gravity is pulling the blocks down on top of each other. With Lego, you're snapping them so that the snap is holding them down. But you're using a rectilinear system, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so everything's up and down, side to side, okay? But if the minute you look at the world, okay, of nature, if you walk in the forest, you're really not going to see things made by stacking.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look through a microscope, you especially won't see that. You won't see butterfly wings and a bunch of bricks. Okay. Mm. Or the veins inside a kid's hands that aren't laid by bricks. That's not how the universe puts itself together. That's the big difference. Laying bricks is a simplification of structure. It's a simple structure. It's good for keeping out the marauders in your fort, right?
Yeah.
But no respectable engineer is going to make a space station, a boat, a car, an airplane out of bricks.
Right.
They're too heavy, and they're not good structure. They're good for piling up heavy objects to keep out, like I said, maybe the water or the bad guys, right? But bricks have limitations when you want to have performance.
So you got this idea. I mean, you're kind of praying it through, 3D printer. You're thinking, how can we have this thing move in motion? So how does it snap and combine and form itself together?
That was the hardest part, was making a snap. My wife had a lot to do with that, too, because she'd give it the test. We called it the Heather test. Every night when she'd come home from work, she'd snap it together and say, yeah, that's not intuitive, or that's too difficult. It's too many pieces, you know. But we ended up with a male female. It's called a hermaphroditic snapping hinge. Hermaphrodite, you know, like it has two genders on it, okay? Mm. So there's a male and female right next to each other, and they snap onto their respective female male,
yeah.
Right? And when they snap, they make a loud click, like a snapping sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a trap. So once there's no pin, like, you know, hinges in a door have a little pin that goes through, right?
Right.
These don't have a pin. These are, it's like I call it the egg in the nest. The egg slides in the nest and snaps into place, and it can't move. And that's what we patented, was this egg and nest hinge system.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute you snap them in, they could bend about 240 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how much freedom they have. And with that freedom, you could build a massive amount of things. And here's the thing. When you open up a box of Lux, all the plastic pieces are square. There's no triangles. There's no pentagons. We designed triangles and pentagons and hexagons and all the different shapes, but we found out there's something really special about the square block, because you could shape it into what's called prisms, like you can make a you could snap three squares together and make a triangular prism. Yeah. Well, the top and bottom of that prism aren't squares, they're triangles, right?
Right.
So that imitates the triangular shape. And you could do the same thing with a pentagon or a hexagon 6 or an octagon 8. So basically the square can construct the other shapes. So you can make the whole universe with squares, which was really like a great atomic idea for us. And it worked, and it's unbelievably cool.
Well, you're coming to town this Saturday, November 14th at 11 a.m. to Lincoln Square Mall. And in case you just tuned in, on the phone with me is Mike Achera. He lives in the Galesburg area. And actually, you interact with maybe a number of our listeners because you have your plant or one of the production facilities right in Bloomington, Illinois. And was this idea, did it come together in your home, or do you have a business there in Galesburg also?
We call it Achera Studios. It's in our house. We have one of those big Victorian houses here in Galesburg.
Mm-hmm.
Galesburg's kind of known for the big old houses, which has been a labor of love, the house itself. But, yeah, it's great to be talking to your audience. And, you know, I think my story probably isn't that strange. I'm sure there's a person out there in your audience who has had a kind of special relationship maybe they don't want to talk about to other people. But, you know, that real personal kind of you're really asking God for some special help. You know, and this product's been kind of the product of that, of just asking, you know, God for some really special help. We wanted to make a project that had a specific end game, and that was to give kids and adults the freedom to build whatever they can imagine with the power of nature in their hands, which was not easy. It was really super hard, and that's why we feel privileged that we're actually a part of this journey. You know,
and the product is called Lux Blocks, LUXBLOX, and their website is LUXBLOX.com. And Mike is coming to Lincoln Square Mall this Saturday, November 14th at 11 a.m. And Dr. G Brainworks has his brain and fitness store there right in the mall. And at 11 a.m., I think you're going to do some demonstrations and talk about it. And I wonder, you got me thinking about kindergarten and how ideas are birthed. I'm a few years older than you, but did you ever imagine as a kid, because you said you knew that there was a God or this creator behind the universe, did you ever think like I used to think, like if you had a rocket and it had unlimited fuel and it was sent up from the Earth, that literally it would just keep going because of infinity? It could never stop anywhere, because wherever it would stop, there'd be room beyond that point. And I used to always think, wow, God, this universe is so incredible how you've designed it, because could there ever be an end to the universe? Because wherever that end would be, there'd be the beginning of something else. And I always used to ponder how awesome God is, that he could create infinity that would never end.
Yeah, the idea of end,
yeah,
might be the one man-made thought,
yeah,
right? I mean, you know, even like the fractal guys of the 20th century, they showed that, like, you know, you say, you know, how long is your coastline? Well, it depends what you're using to measure it, right? Because if you measure it with pins and yarn on a map in your house, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be really short. And if you say, well, I'm going to walk around the coastline and walk around all the individual rocks and measure how many paces it's going to take, all of a sudden your coastline's twice as long.
Yeah.
And then if you ask an ant to walk around all the pebbles,
yeah,
your coastline just went up by like a thousandfold.
Yeah.
So who's doing the measuring?
Yeah.
You know, what is the distance around America or around Australia? It's depending on how you're measuring it. And
yeah,
that's a good question. What is infinity? What's an end?
Yeah.
I always
used to think as a child, and that's why I think we were similar, that there was always a sense that there was a God behind the universe, and God has carried you along through a Christian family and involvement in church. And I think your wife, Heather, is the CEO of this company?
Heather's the CEO, the owner, and she's the shark of my shark tank. Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
And so are you going to bring any other toys or inventions? I think any listener that's been with us these past 20 minutes, I think just your background in the arts and your desire of drawing and engineering, it seems like God has really wired you to be an inventor.
Yeah, my training is actually as a painter, as a portrait painter and as a muralist. I've done some Christian art. You know, I'm Italian, so Italians, you know, we cook, we make art, we invent. That's just what we do. That's how we roll, you know.
All at the same time.
Yeah, and we believe in God. You know, it's just the Renaissance idea was an idea of connecting, connecting it all together, and that's the normal. I think in our world, specialization is the normal, and I think it's a way of disconnecting us from important things.
Well, it seems like God has wired you to be an inventor, to bring this gift to Lincoln Square Mall this Saturday. And I think your desire was that people could use their imagination, like you said, could create anything, and they can design these. Now, is there in these boxes, are there some instructions? Here's how you could create the spaceship.
That's what makes us a little bit different. We do not put any instructions in the box at all. In fact, there's a sign in the box when you open it says, "Are you looking for instructions?" We do. And it says go to luxblocks.com, because at the website are 32 videos made mostly by kids showing you how to make all the things that are pictured on the box. And they're very good videos. But we do not encourage – these aren't kits like Lego where this is the fire engine or this is the Star Wars X-Wing fighter. These aren't kits. These aren't models to put on a shelf when you're done making them. This block is a tool to really – the most interesting thing you've got when you play with these blocks is your own mind, because that's what was given to you by God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when your mind interacts with these blocks, you're going to get really stimulated and you're going to explore and discover things that oftentimes we never saw before. Every time we go to a show and the kids play with the blocks, almost every time we get blown away by some kid out there who's like, you know, does something like, "I can't believe you just made that and we never figured that out." So these are discovery blocks, and because it's the power of nature, speaking of infinity, there's an infinite amount of things you can make with these blocks. So we don't want to limit it by giving you instructions like, here's how to make a windmill. On the website, there's videos on how to make a lot of cool things and how to use the blocks, but really the mind is the best tool.
And that website is luxblocks.com, LuxBlox. But better yet, come out this Saturday, November 14th at 11 a.m. to the Lincoln Square Mall in Urbana, the same location where Great News Radio will be hosting our 20th birthday celebration next year in April. So come out this Saturday, and thank you, Mike, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, and I hope to see you this Saturday.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, if you need more information about the location of Lincoln Square Mall, you can call the station at any time, 217-367-7777. But I hope to see you out at the mall this Saturday, November 14th, 11 a.m. And stop by Dr. G, BrainWorks, and say hi to Dr. Bill. And then certainly give greetings to Mike, and he'll be putting on a presentation at 11 a.m. So I hope to see you there this Saturday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.